إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونشكره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وقائدنا وقرة أعيننا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وحبيبه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد عباد الله، فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العلي العظيم القائل في محكم كتابه: واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. روى مسلم عن معقل بن يسار رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: العبادة في الهرج كهجرة إلي. واعلموا معشر المؤمنين أن الله عز وجل قد خلقنا وأوجدنا في هذه الدنيا الفانية الزائلة لحكمة عظيمة بالغة. خلقنا سبحانه وتعالى لنعبده وحده ولا نشرك به شيئا. قال الله تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. ما أريد منهم رزقا، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. صدق الله العظيم. Dear brothers, worship Allah Ta'ala until your last breath. Imam Muslim narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith: al-ibadatu fil harj ka hijratun ilay, which means doing ibadah, being a worshipper at the time when there is harj, is the person will get similar reward to the one who immigrates to me during the obligatory hijrah. So doing ibadah during the immense killing, this is what the harj is, the spread of killing and unrightful killing, is like a hijrah, like performing an obligatory immigration, which was the immigration that we will talk about inshallah ta'ala in a bit. And know, dear brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He brought us into existence, into this life that comes to an end. And that is for a wisdom, for a hikmah, for a reason. And it is a great reason. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created us and brought us into existence so that we worship Him. So that we worship Allah and not associate any partners to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. To obey Him, to do as He ordered, and to refrain from what He prohibited, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah alone is the only one that deserves this worship. No one deserves the worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one orders Allah to do anything. No one prevents Allah from doing anything. He is the one who orders and forbids. And as Allah ta'ala said in Al-Quran, the ayah which I recited, which means Allah Ta'ala created the jinn and the ins to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala made it obligatory upon us to perform the obligations. How do you worship Allah? How do you worship Allah? By believing that He is one without a partner and by following His obligations. By performing the obligations and refraining, avoiding the prohibitions. Allahu amarana awjaba alayna alwajibat wa nahana anil muharramat fawajaba alayna an nataqarraba ilayhi bima iftarad wa nantahi amma naha anhu wa haddhar fa inna afdala ma yataqarrabu ما يتقرب به العبد إلى ربه هو أداء الواجبات واجتناب المحرمات. روى البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فيما يرويه عن ربه تبارك وتعالى أنه قال وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه. فدل هذا الحديث على عظيم فضل المحافظة على الفرائض، ولا شك أن أعلى الفرائض وأفضلها هو الإيمان بالله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم بعد ذلك الصلاة. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أفضل الأعمال إيمان بالله ورسوله. So dear brothers, Allah made obligations upon us. He brought you into existence. He ordered you to worship Him. And He made obligations and prohibitions. So you are obligated to do the obligations and refrain from the sins. Now, what is the purpose of doing the obligations? To worship Allah, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reporting about what Allah ta'ala said, that the most rewardable thing a person could do, that is the most rewardable thing by Allah ta'ala for one to seek, is through the obligations. So if you want to get the most reward from Allah ta'ala, the most reward that you will get is by doing the obligations, not the sunan. The sunan, lesser reward. It is sunnah, you get reward, but it's not more important than the obligations. The obligations, of course, have the priority, and they are accepted by Allah and rewarded by Allah more than other acts. And what is the highest and the best of the obligations? The best of the a'mal, as you all know, is as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Imanun billahi wa rasulihi. The best of the a'mal, the best of the deeds, is to believe in Allah correctly and in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, when we say to believe in His Messenger, it includes to believe in all His teachings, that Adam is the first prophet and that Muhammad is the last and that there is judgment day and so on so forth. So know that being steadfast on performing the obligations and refraining from the prohibitions is the way to salvation, to safety. How do you achieve safety? By having a lot of money? We know that's not the case. By being muscular, being popular? We know that's not the case. By having a lot of friends on the internet or in the community? We know that's not the case. Rather, the way to safety is to stay Muslim and to perform all the obligations that Allah Ta'ala obliged, and to refrain from all the sins. This is the way to safety. Safety in the Akhirah. Safety on the Day of Judgment. This is the way to enter Paradise, by performing these obligations. By performing them properly. So now the job on you, the duty on you, is to make sure that the obligation you are performing is the way Allah and the Prophet ordered. Not the way that you think. Not the way that you're watching through the internet or TV. Rather, it is the authentic way that has been reported from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And how do you know if it's authentic or not? What's the best source to know the authenticity of something? By asking the one who learned directly from someone who learned directly from someone who learned directly, where his knowledge goes back all the way to the greater Muallim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how you know if it's authentic. Not by Googling it, or going on internet, or Facebook, or YouTube. This is not the way of acquiring the knowledge. How do you know these sources are authentic? So that's why you have to make sure you worship Allah correctly, properly, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. Good for the one whose life is based on piety. طوبى لمن كانت التقوى سيرته وأصلح علانيته وسريرته واستقام في أيام قليلة ليفوز في أيام طويلة يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Good for the one whose life is based on iman and taqwa and God-fearingness. Good for the one who prepares for the akhirah by fixing his inside and outside. So let's see. I have to fix my inside and I have to fix my outside. Yani my manners, my akhlaq, my adab, and my inside, my beliefs. So do you think if you are focusing on fixing yourself and preparing it for the akhirah, you have time to criticize other people? You have time to gossip other people and talk about other people? Ya akhi, focus on yourself first. Focus on bettering yourself and saving yourself from Jahannam, from the hell fire. Focus on bettering yourself, then your wife, then your children and family members, then you can spread this knowledge to others. But the priority starts at you. Tuba liman kanat at-taqwa siratuh. Good for the one whose life is based on taqwa. Before you approach something, brother, make sure it's acceptable in the religion. Weigh it. Don't just say, I don't know the judgment. I'm not sure, so I'll do it anyways. It feels okay to do it. It's not enough for you to say it feels okay to do it. I may have told you before, one sister came to us. She googled a fatwa online. She thought it was okay to get married 1 week after the first divorce. And then she found out that she is in zina. Wal'iyadu billah. Why was that? The devil, he tempted her to follow the way of ignorance and the ignorant ones. So she was committing zina, thinking that she was doing something good. Wal'iyadu billah. Why is that? Why you put yourself in this situation? Because you did not get the knowledge authentically and properly, subhanallah. So طوبى لمن كانت التقوى سيرته. And good for the one who is patient during these short days. The days we are in are short, meaning your lifespan is very short compared to the long days in the akhirah. Imagine 60, 70 years, 100 years. Imagine, in your mind right now, imagine. 100 years, compare 100 years to 1,000 years. 100 years, very short. But 100 years to 1,000,000 years, extremely short. But 100 years to everlasting time, no end. So 60 years is like nothing. The lifetime that we're going to live is extremely short. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that this dunya is like a passage. Just a passage, you're passing through. It's like a bridge. You're crossing to get to the other side. But what's on the other side? What's on the other side of this bridge? What's behind that wall? Is what you prepared for on the other side. In this dunya. What you prepared for on the other. In this dunya. For the other side. The next life. That's what is on the other side. When you cross as-sirat, people either will go into hell or will enter al-jannah. But how come? Why they fall into hell? And why some fly immediately to Al-Jannah? And why some are running but falling? Some are running, they make it. Some are walking and then they fall and then they're brought up and so on. How come all of that is going to happen? It's because of the deeds, the a'mal that they prepared in this dunya. So good for the one who prepares for that time. The time when neither money nor children will benefit you. Your kids that you've been taking care of all your life, on judgment day, they will not be helpful for you. Unless they are shufa'a. And this is something different. Shafa'a is something else. But that's the day when neither money nor children will benefit. So now you are on your own. Your a'mal are the only things that benefit you. It is narrated from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu that he said, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went and asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulallah, and we all know who Mu'adh ibn Jabal was. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, mashallah, by himself, he took half of the Yemen. He spread Islam in one half of the Yemen radiyallahu anhu, and the other half is for another companion. The Prophet assigned two people for Yemen. Just two people, they spread Islam in the entire country of the Yemen. Subhanallah. But Mu'adh came to the Prophet ﷺ one day and he told him, Ya Rasulallah, قال له سأل النبي معاذ بن جبل سأل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال له يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. I ask you, O Messenger of Allah, tell me about something to do that will admit me to al-Jannah, will take me to paradise, and it will keep me away from hell. Keep me away from hellfire. Not to be near hellfire. Not to be thrown into it. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, the first thing he said to him is, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have asked about something that is very great. That is great. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. But it is easy for those whom Allah Ta'ala made it easy for. Whatever you ask about is something great, but it's easy and simple for whomever Allah willed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, this deed that will make you away from hellfire and enter al-Jannah is to أن تعبد الله تعالى لا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. So those five things, that's what he mentioned. So he told him, it is easy, whatever you're asking for is easy only for those whom Allah Ta'ala facilitated this for. But if Allah Ta'ala did not facilitate this for one, يعني, who's he going to get help from? If Allah is not your helper, who is? So he told him to worship Allah without associating partners to him. So to worship Allah alone and not to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To perform the salat always. And to pay the zakat, the obligatory zakat, if you're able. If you're among those who have to pay the zakat. And to fast the month of Ramadan. And to perform the hajj if you are able. Those five things. Which are the five greatest matters in Islam. So this great sahabi is asking, although we know his great status. I told you, the Prophet assigned him to the half of Yemen to spread Islam in there. Despite that, this man is asking for the best way to safety. So the Prophet ﷺ explained to him to stay steadfast on these five matters. To remain steadfast on these five matters. No matter what happens to you in life, never let go of these five matters. The first and most important is al-Iman, billahi wa rasulihi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then as-salat, as-siyam, al-hajj, al-zakat. Now as for worship, the definition of worship, let me just make a quick explanation of what ibadah is, because some people nowadays are confusing things. Ibadah is known Islamically and linguistically that it is أقصى غاية الخشوع والخضوع كما ذكر ذلك الزبيدي في شرح القاموس. Ibadah is the maximum submission and humility. This kind of ibadah is only allowed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of it is sujood. When you prostrate and put your forehead on the ground, you're showing the maximum humility. Can you do that to other than Allah? No. If you did that to other than Allah out of worship, then you are worshipping other than Allah. And this is kufr. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So this is what ibadah is. This is the maximum, the ultimate submission. Not merely asking Allah through the Prophet, for example. If you ask Allah, you're asking Allah for something. Ya Allah, I ask you by the virtue of your Prophet Muhammad. This is called tawassul. You're not worshipping Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Or if you said, Ya Rasulallah, Shafa'a, Ya Muhammadah, Wa Muhammadah. This is not worshipping him. Rather, you are asking Allah Ta'ala through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have to understand the definition. Why do you think these people that you're watching in the media, you are all seeing and hearing, why they are killing these Muslims like that? Because they consider them blasphemers, worshippers of the idols. They call them idol worshippers, and they are mushriks because they are doing tawassul bil anbiya wal awliya. That's why in some countries they go and they bomb the graveyards, the mosques, the places of the awliya. These extremists, That's what they are. They are a cult that considers the rest of the Muslims as idol worshippers. Their blood is halal, their money is halal, their wives are halal, and so on. If we don't protect ourselves and our children with the authentic knowledge, they will end up following these kind of people. They are recruiting. They are recruiting. If we don't protect ourselves and our children with the right knowledge, then our children will end up with them. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Going back to al-Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, الْعِبَادَةُ فِي الْهَرْجِ كَهِجْرَةٌ إِلَيْهِ كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيْهِ, which means performing ibadah in the time of harj is like a hijrah to me. Performing the ibadah in the time of harj, which is the time of immense killing. When the subhanallah, how did the Prophet know? How did the Prophet know that at the end of time, immense killing will be widespread? So much killing will be happening. How did he know? Wahi. Wahi min Allah. It shows you that he was a truthful prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said that doing ibadah, being steadfast on doing ibadah at that time is such a great reward that it is similar to the reward of the person who makes hijrah to me during the time of the hijrah, when it was obligatory. At one time, it was obligatory to make the hijrah, to go from Mecca to the Medina. It was an obligation on every Muslim to do that. The Prophet ﷺ made it an obligation. Then this rule was abrogated, nusikha, after that. So those who immigrated, they had tremendous reward. So now the Prophet ﷺ is likening the people who just do their worship in these days, nowadays, which is our days, of the immense killing, the unjust that has been widespread, the unrightful killing that has been widespread. This is the time that the Prophet is talking about, alayhi salatu wasalam, as you are seeing and hearing. So the one who does this ibadah correctly and stays steadfast on it is similar in reward, not exactly, yani, but similar in reward to those who made the hijrah, the obligatory hijrah. Al-harju ahbabana ma'naahu shiddatu al-qatl. معناه شدة القتل وهو ما نعيشه في زمننا هذا نعيش زمن الفتن التي ما زالت تتوالى كقطع الليل المظلم فهنيئا لمن شغل وقته ونفسه في طاعة الله عز وجل. You'll find people all day long watching news, movie after the other, movie after the other. What are you doing? Do something good. Go spend your time in something good. Go perform your obligations. Go attend the circles of knowledge. Go get involved in da'wah. What are you doing? Just complaining. What is wrong with the ummah? What is wrong with the people? Habibi, what is wrong with the people? It starts with you. If you are not a proper Muslim, then your family is going to be influenced by you. And your family is part of this community. And this community is part of this country or this society. So you are the first brick. If you are good, you're going to fix who's around you. So focus on bettering yourself. And especially in these hard times. Al-qabidu ala dinihi kal-qabidu ala jamr. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. The time when the person who is holding steadfast to his faith, to his religion, to his iman, his belief, is like the person who's holding a red hot coal. Red hot fiery coal. How hard is it to grab a red hot? Can you put your hand on a hot stove? How difficult is it? The Prophet ﷺ is likening that time to this time, when the immense killing and the unjust is widespread and the fitan is widespread. So what is the solution, or what is the way to safety? Is for you to focus on bettering yourself and your family so they are safe in the Akhirah. And not to die but a Muslim. Not when something happens at work, you start cussing Allah, wal-iyadu billah, complaining, objecting on Allah, and saying kufr statements, or doing something kufr, or as some people do, yani, wal-iyadu billah. No, being patient, especially in the hard times. And the Prophet ﷺ was ordered even with that. Allah Ta'ala said, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. He was ordered to remain steadfast on worshipping Allah until yaqeen comes, until death comes. It's called yaqeen here because it's inevitable. He didn't say حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْمَوْتِ. He said حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ is the way Arabic is, and it refers to death. Because it means death inevitably is coming. That's why it's called yaqeen. In this ayah, it's referred to as yaqeen. It is, so, be a worshipper, worship Allah Ta'ala until the inevitable comes, which is death. To remain steadfast on worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and on the proper belief. And how do you do that? With the knowledge. This is attained with the Islamic knowledge. You don't know what you are doing if whatever you are doing is all according to the religion. Until you come and inspect and check and ask questions. Is it okay to do this? Is it okay to do that? Instead of asking 1,000 questions that you cannot find answers for, you should come and sit in the sessions of knowledge, and automatically the knowledge, as soon as you have it and the more you have of it, it's answering all your questions now and the future questions that you will have. So it's very important, dear brothers, to attend the circles of knowledge and to stay steadfast on the proper ibadah. The Prophet والسلام, it was known, as Imam Ahmad narrated, that the Prophet وسلم, whenever إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى, whenever something afflicts the Prophet والسلام, from hardships, anything that becomes intense on him, what he used to do? He used to go and pray. Subhanallah. That's his getaway. Whenever something hard comes down on him, whenever something difficult or intense, he will seek the salat. Subhanallah. The salat. And he used to do a lot of the optional prayers. Nowadays, we are almost begging the brothers, the young and the old, to perform the obligatory prayers and not to miss the Jumu'ah and to at least do the minimum of the obligations, unfortunately. The Prophet والسلام, he used to enjoy the optional prayers. And the awliya likewise, they enjoy the optional prayers. Subhanallah. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ حَقِيقَةَ الدُّنْيَا كَانَ جَدِيرًا بِهِ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْطَعَ الْعُمُرْ فِي تَقْوَى رَبِّهِ وَالْإِكْثَارِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. The one who really knows what this dunya is, the one who ponders and thinks, what is this dunya? People young and old are dying. Whether they are healthy or sick, they are dying. Subhanallah. Yesterday they killed 3 people. Tomorrow, Allahu A'lam, who will be killed? Last week, so many people were killed, whether in war or not. Whether they are healthy or sick, death is coming. It is going to be a sudden, subhanallah. Are you prepared for it? That's the question. Have you prepared for the time when you will die? How will the death, the pains of death will be? Allahu A'lam. How will you be when you are taken to the grave? Is your funeral going to be very, very fast? You're excited to go to your grave? Or you're very scared and it's pushing back, you're pushing back? Is it going to be an illuminated place in the grave? Or is it going to be dark? Allahu A'lam. You are the one who can decide to prepare for that time. To do the good deeds for the time when you are going to be alone in the grave. And the best way of doing that is to increase your level of authentic knowledge. And it is available at this musalla. If you need circles of knowledge, you can attend the scheduled ones here. Or you can request for your families, you can let us know. We have teachers, alhamdulillah, for adults and for kids. And we have a school, alhamdulillah. Our life is dedicated to serving the religion, to acquiring the knowledge and sharing it and spreading it. That's all. May Allah Ta'ala enable us and you to do this khair. As'alullaha li wa lakum al-khair. Wa as'alullaha ta'ala li wa lakum al-salamata fi dunya wal-akhirah. هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله ask الله تعالى for forgiveness. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين وعلى إخوانه النبيين والمرسلين، ورضي الله عن أمهات المؤمنين وعن الأئمة المهتدين وعن الأولياء والصالحين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العلي العظيم. Dear brothers, I urge you and myself to stay steadfast on the correct aqidah, the correct belief. The belief that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام spent his life spreading, which is to believe that Allah is one without a partner, He does not need anything, He does not resemble any of the creations. Allah does not live in the skies, nor in the Kaaba or in the mosques. Allah does not need a place. Allah exists without a place. Allah does not need a chair or a arsh or a throne to sit or rest on it, like the Yahud say. Allah does not sit on the arsh. Allah controls the arsh, which is the biggest of the creations. Thus, He controls what is less than that. He controls your movement. He controls your soul. So thank Allah Ta'ala for what He provided for you and for every breath that you had, and use it in His obedience, and do not die until you die as a Muslim. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship Allah Ta'ala until death comes. Remain as a Muslim until death comes. Stay as a Muslim until death comes. Don't hesitate or leave Islam for any reason or any purpose. Don't doubt about the truthfulness of Islam, and make sure you increase your level in knowledge and pass it on to your children so they are the same, inshallah. May Allah facilitate for me and you the authentic knowledge. وَعْلَمُوا أَحِبَّتَنَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ أَمَرَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ الْكَرِيمِ فَقَالَ وَهُوَ أَصْدَقُ الْقَائِلِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يقول الله تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. On judgment day, people will look like they are drunk, but they are not. But from the intense situation on judgment day, they look like they are drunk, but they are not from the horrors on that day. May Allah Ta'ala help us on that day. Allahumma inna da'awnaka fastajib lana du'a'ana. فاغفر اللهم لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. اللهم ألهم نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا واكفنا ما أهمنا وقنا شر ما نتخوف. واحفظنا واحفظ جمعيتنا واغفر لنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يثبكم، واشكروه يزدكم، واستغفروه يغفر لكم، واتقوه يجعل لكم من أمركم مخرجا. وأقم الصلاة.